We are tuned into the Library of Michigan segment. Always a pleasure. We're going to learn some interesting facts and figures and prevalences. Good morning to you, Beth Rice, education consultant for students who are deaf or hard of hearing with the Michigan Department of Education. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good things happening, I hope, in Lansing and with this opportunity to talk about the Library of Michigan and how you are involved. So let's get into our conversation, and I'm going to throw out some, some letters, and you tell me what they stand for. MDE-LIO. What is this?
Yeah, that's the name of our office. It stands for Michigan Department of Education Low Incidence Outreach. So we call it MDE-LIO for short, and often people aren't sure what that means. But we're housed at the Library of Michigan, but we're a department within the Office of Special Education at MDE.
What's been the history? Have you been there long?
We've been here for about 10 years. This office was set up when the School for the Blind was closed, and so our office provides resources, professional development, technical assistance, and other supports for students who are blind, visually impaired, or deaf, hard of hearing. So we support the professionals who serve these students statewide, and we also have supports and events for families. We also have a camp that we manage called Camp Tus Mahita, which is in Greenville, Michigan, just north of Lowell. And that was a property that was gifted to the state, and our office coordinates the events there, just a fantastic facility. So we have about just under 20 staff members, and I'm one of two consultants that provides services specifically for students who are deaf, hard of hearing.
Thank you for that. How prevalent is hearing loss in children, Beth?
It's about 3 out of every 1,000 babies are born with some type of permanent hearing loss. And then here in Michigan, we have about 2,700 students statewide that qualify for special education services due to the hearing loss. Of those, about 170 right now are attending the Michigan School for the Deaf, and then the remaining students are receiving services through their local districts or their ISDs.
What causes hearing loss?
Yeah, about 50% of babies are born with hearing loss, and we don't know the cause. But about the other 50%, we could link that to genetic factors, some type of prenatal or birth complication, or some other health issue. And then some kids acquire hearing loss after they're born. This could be temporary, just due to some type of blockage, even in the ear canal with wax or fluid behind the eardrum, or as we know, sometimes toddlers like to insert things into their ears, which can be a temporary hearing loss. And then other hearing losses are permanent. Those could be caused by a viral infection, a head injury, or exposure to noise.
Is there a test? Can one test a baby for hearing loss? How is it identified?
Yes, universal newborn hearing screening has been implemented at hospitals nationwide, and that is fantastic because the earlier we can identify the hearing loss, the earlier we can address it. And so for babies, of course, we can't expect a baby to raise their hand when they hear a certain tone, but we do have a couple of tests we can use at the hospitals. One is called an OAE, otoacoustic emissions, and that is measuring the response of the inner ear to the sound that is introduced through a little earbud. And then the other one is called a brainstem auditory evoked response, which we shorten B-A-E-R, and we call it BEAR, even though it's not quite spelled that way, which is we can do that assessment when the baby is sleeping, and we just put electrodes on their head, and we measure the brain's response to the sound. Hmm. So no response is needed from the baby.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah. Can a baby wear hearing aids?
Yes. And really, with hearing aids, so much has improved in the last 20 years, just like many other technologies. hearing aids are now digital and not analog anymore. They're programmable. The audiologist can program a hearing aid to amplify specific frequencies. We can program the hearing aid to suppress background noise. They're even Bluetooth compatible. So when a baby's hearing loss is fully diagnosed by an ENT and an audiologist, yeah, we can amplify sound right away.
Moving on, how does hearing loss impact a child's language and communication development?
Well, you know, if you think about an infant who has typical hearing, for the first 12 months, basically, they're just listening. And then we don't really expect to hear them start to talk until they're about 1 year old when they start to say their first words. And so a child with a hearing loss doesn't have that full access to spoken language. And this can cause delays in language acquisition, communication skill development. And if that's not addressed, it can cause ongoing academic or literacy deficits. But with focused intervention and addressing the hearing loss, children can learn commensurate with their peers.
Appreciate that. Beth Rice with us, part of our Tuned Into the Library of Michigan interview, thanks to the State Library. Beth, an education consultant for kids who are deaf or hard of hearing with the Michigan Department of Education Low Incidence Outreach. You went to Ball State. That's pretty good. Beth, what kind of supports are available for families and for students in school?
Yeah, well, children with a developmental delay or a disability are eligible for services in the state of Michigan with early on and or special education services. And that starts from birth to three, typically in the home. And then once a child is three, the support services would occur in the school setting. So for students who are deaf or hard of hearing, our first priority is always to give the child access to language and communication. And we can do this in a variety of ways depending on the unique needs of the child. So some children who are deaf, hard of hearing can develop listening and spoken language with consistent auditory access and some intensive early intervention with specific strategies to develop those skills. And then some children can acquire language and communication using American Sign Language with modeling and exposure. Even babies younger than 12 months old can learn ASL. And even babies with typical hearing are learning ASL now. So, and then some children use a combination of listening and spoken language, American Sign Language, or even other supports to acquire language and communicate. That could include cued speech, lip reading, or other visual supports. So a variety of ways we can definitely help kids.
Great. After high school, what opportunities are available for students with hearing loss here?
Yeah, well, students with hearing loss can learn to drive, they can go to college, they can learn a profession, they can work towards any other personal goal just like any other students. So, and then some students are eligible for supports towards employment through Michigan Rehabilitation Services. So really, there are no limits. The students just need support and intervention, and they can achieve any goal they set for themselves.
Appreciate that. When I meet a person with hearing loss, Beth, guide me here. What can I do to facilitate understanding and clear communication? I guess what can I do, or perhaps even what shouldn't I do? Beth, give me the social etiquette here.
Sure. Well, I would say first that we don't want to make assumptions. Some people who are deaf or hard of hearing use sign language and some don't, and all you have to do is ask. If a person is using American Sign Language and they are communicating through an interpreter, you would want to speak directly to the individual, not the interpreter. So in other words, we don't say, tell her I said something. You just speak directly to the individual. And then just keeping in mind that any degree of hearing loss, whether it's mild to profound, it will cause some understanding difficulties in conversation, especially if it's a noisy environment. And we even experience that. We all experience that in a restaurant. It's a little bit tougher to hear and understand. So just being patient, speaking clearly without over-enunciating, let the individual see your face so that they can get some cues from lip reading and facial expressions. You might be asked to repeat or rephrase. And then again, always just ask the individual, what can I do to make sure you're understanding me correctly and we can communicate in the best way possible for you.
Very nice. How do we get more information about your great program, this MDELIO, Beth?
Yeah, well, we do have a website. It's MDELIO.org. We have resources, links. There's even a fillable form at the bottom of every web page. You can submit a question. You can request assistance. That's just available for anyone. And then I would say just about hearing loss in general, we do have within the Michigan Health and Human Services Department, we have Early Hearing Detection Intervention Department, which we shorten as EHDI, E-H-D-I.
Hmm.
Their website is a great source of information. And then National Institutes for Health has a great website with lots of great resources on it. So,
thanks.
Yeah.
For that. All right, good. Good things happening with the Library of Michigan, including a good book to read and the essentials, including your success as well. Beth, take care to you.
Thank you. Very nice speaking with you.